You're live.
All right. Well, welcome everybody tonight. I'd like to call the meeting to order for the Moapa Town Advisory Board meeting for September 26th, 2017.
December 12th.
Where'd it go? How'd that get over there?
It'd be warmer if it was September 26th.
Yeah, that was a good one. Okay, I'll start over again. How about that? Call our meeting to order for tonight, December 12th, 2017. We have asked Tim Watkins if he would open our meeting with an invocation.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow our heads before thee this evening and offer our gratitude to thee for the many blessings that we enjoy at thy hand. We're grateful for the peace and prosperity that we enjoy here in this good community. We're grateful for the good people who live here, who make it a good community. And we're grateful for the resources with which thou hast blessed us here. And we pray that thou wilt guide our actions and guide our discussions. And guide us as we do our best to make this community the best that we can. And provide for the needs of everyone here to make it a better place. And say it's the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, we got out of order a little bit, but why don't we go ahead and have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to introduce ourselves. I'm Town Board Chair Ryan Udall.
Tim Watkins.
Jamie Shakespeare.
Bob Leonard.
Janice with Commissioner Marilyn Kirkpatrick's office.
All right, do we have anybody else in here we need to?
Yeah, sure, look.
Hi, I'm J.J. Smith. I'm with the Bureau of Land Management.
Lee Kirk, Bureau of Land Management as well.
Robert Shakespeare, Santa Ana Water.
Joe Davis, of Blount Water.
Sean McKeldry, Bureau of Land Management.
Tyler Hecht, Bureau of Land Management.
All right.
Ruby.
Thank you. Thanks for coming tonight. I got the right page in front of me.
Let's do.
You want to approve the minutes first, or do you want to?
Mr. Chair, let's do number two first.
Okay. Okay. Public comment. The period is devoted to the comments by the general public about agenda items. And however, we cannot have any discussion or action or vote on the items or any of the public items. Do we have any public comment on anything? Anybody?
Can I throw out a question as a public
sure.
comment? Is that
for items that are on the agenda?
Oh, not on the agenda then, right?
Then you must wait till the second public okay. comment, Mr. Vice Chair.
Well, I'm not the Vice Chair.
You're not the Vice Chair.
Lynn is. Lynn, she's not here.
Oh, Lynn is.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Board Member.
I was trying to read through that to see if I saw.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay, number three.
Okay, number three, approval of the September minutes of September 26, 2017. Move that we approve them.
Second.
All right, and then also approval of the agenda for tonight, December 12th.
Mr. Chair, you want to vote on those minutes?
Oh, we got
the four of you present.
I was not present.
So you can't vote. three of you folks were present.
Okay, so, yeah, so let's approval of September 26 minutes. All in favor? Aye.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, then approval of the agenda for tonight.
Mr. Chair, did anyone ask to move anything around?
That I'm aware of.
I just...
Oh, the yeah, let's...
You got four
items,
and I know everybody wants to go for...
Yeah, let's...
It's up to you.
Yeah, if we could we, in general business, if we could do that one first and move the number one in general business, we could discuss that.
So, Mr. Chair, you'd like to move general business to before informational items?
Yes.
Okay.
And do we need to vote on that as well? You guys, is that all right with everybody if we move that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So, any motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Yeah.
I vote aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay,
then let's get started then with our general business. Number one on general business, Moapa Volunteer Fire Department. Possible separation from Clark County Fire Department for discussion and possible action.
Oh, my.
Ann.
Right now I'm dead set against this because there's one person I know of that has done any research, and he's the one that's pushing the whole thing, and I really believe it should be set aside until we get someone from the board or me or somebody, some other people to get in there and go to the different people and ask them. Right now, they're pushing for it to go immediately. They don't have any idea whether it'll work or not. And so I will say that I am not for it as it stands now. I'd like that to be tabled until a time when someone has gathered someone else, at least one person, probably one from each board, has gathered the information that is necessary to know whether we should do it or not.
Okay. I'm a little bit unaware of the process.
It's going to be quite a process. We'll have to our station and the other two stations will be under a chief, which we will have to pay, and we have all the equipment from now on would have to be paid for by us. All the stuff that you need would have to be paid by us. Right now it's paid by the county. And it's just a big thing to do without having more than one person going around to find out what is right and what is not. I've talked to several people from the county. They don't think it's the time. But that's not up to me. I need to talk to, like, for instance, Mount Charleston Fire Department, because they just went on their own.
Okay.
And we need to talk to people like that to find out if this is a good fit for the three fire stations. Okay?
And that would be with the three fire stations involved, just that's a lot of budgeting,
yes,
distribution.
Oh yes, oh yes, it's gonna be a nightmare. So it'll be, I mean, I don't say don't ever do it. I just say let us study it a bit before we do it and make sure it is the right thing to do before we do it and it's too late. We can't go back. We can't go back to the county. So, you know, there's no reason to rush into this, none whatsoever, because we're still taken care of by the county, and will be until we decide different.
So who has authority to make that call, whether they do it or don't? Yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll tell you, this is sort of just an informational item, because I think the person or persons who are suggesting that you separate from Clark County Fire aren't here to speak. And it came a little bit out of left field. So the county commissioner, as you've heard me say before, supports whatever the town wants to do. And I'm pretty certain she'd ask this to go to a vote. So it would be on your ballot. Uh-huh. Furthermore, she's been doing some research. I'm not sure Mount Charleston is a good contrast because it had a lot to do with the Division of Forestry and
the state, yes.
State, the mountainous, the trees, it's very different than what we have going on down here. So there's, it's a different station. I want to say it's in central Nevada that did it, and she's compiling some reports. She, I believe, echoes what Ann is telling you, that there's some studies to be done and to look at this from a few different angles.
Okay.
But we wanted, so you have the article by Vern in your backup. If you get a chance to look at that. And then I just would encourage you to maybe perhaps follow it. I attend as often as I can the Rural Fire District meetings. Nobody shows up. It's almost worse than our board, right? It's worse than our board.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nobody.
So I don't know how you find things out unless Vern's good enough to write it in the paper, yeah. But somebody maybe wants to attend those meetings once in a while, and perhaps we'll have some attendance in the near future because it's a pretty major deal that we're talking about. In regard to separating from our county fire department umbrella.
Huge deal.
Okay.
You have a fire chief here.
Do you have a comment? I'd be interested in what you think.
I don't have a...
If you would just identify yourself so we'll
get you. My name is Ronald Leachman. I'm the fire chief in Malapa. I do not have all the statistics yet, all the numbers. As a fire district, we are a 474 fire district. We get money through the state, and it's public notice. It's $890,000 a year. It varies. It can go up. It can go down. It's hard to say. Right now, for the past, I believe, 6 years, we've been getting $890,000. There's been some tiff and stuff with people with the county and way things have been going, and so they've been looking at, because we're a district, getting away from it. I'm still up in the air.
When you say district, what are we talking about?
The fire district.
Just Moapa or?
All of it. It'd be all of it. Logandale, Overton. It'd be all three stations.
So the, okay.
So it
and,
is
and
what
the,
it,
the $890,000 you're talking about is for all three
yes.
stations?
What it entail is have to hire a full-time fire chief, an assistant chief. They want to go to paid paramedics for all three stations. And I've brought up a lot of points that you got insurances, you got all sorts of stuff you're going to have to pay for, lawyers to be on hand. So they're doing the paperwork to justify where it would go. It would entail now starting to charge transports to hospitals, stuff like that, you know, for income. I don't have the numbers. I'm sorry, the guy that's supposed to be here, I don't know what happened. He was supposed to be here to present it. We're not moving on it quick right now, so there's no worries, because it takes a full board vote, and however the town wants to feel about it,
okay.
They need to be involved, because it affects everybody.
All right.
I wished I had more for you, but it's just started. It's only been going for a month and a half, so none of the hard numbers are together yet.
Sure.
Okay. And he's referring to the Fire Department, Northeast Nevada, north of Reno, just separated, and that's the what he's trying to get that info from, to see how it all works. So, as of right now, It's being carried over on our board. There's no votes to go either way yet.
Right.
And we'd appreciate the town coming and come to our board meetings.
Are those once a month?
Once a month, every second Monday of the month at 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock.
Second Monday, 7 o'clock where?
It varies.
Well, one
that's
of the fires.
We're supposed to be low enough. Next month, they'll be Overton.
You need to get your addresses in so you get a...
We get an email.
A meet email.
And it's posted at the post office. It's posted here. It's posted at all three fire stations and all three post offices.
Okay. All right.
Here's Dave now.
All right.
Hi, all.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I apologize for being late. Announce yourself, where you live, and all that. Dave Clegg. I live over in Logandale, over in Lake Valley Estates. Appreciate the opportunity to come over and participate in the meeting. My apologies for the mistake on my calendar. Had this for tomorrow night, so I guess that's a problem with the Lower Valley. We're always a little confused.
No
problem.
Just saying. Sometimes that happens. So any questions, answers, anything I can give for you, I'd be happy to do so. It's a little limited at this point, but...
Well, I'm not sure what it is what's coming for action here, because what I see at this point, we don't have anywhere near enough information to even...
Correct.
Even... I don't even understand what the action is about.
Well, Mr. Chair, no action is actually some action. If you'd like to take no action, or you'd like to put this, table it for a future agenda based on you want more information. I didn't know. We didn't know what research you might do prior to tonight's meeting. I'd probably encourage you to listen to the audio for tomorrow night's meeting in Moapa Valley, because I know that the chairman of Moapa Valley Tab spoke with Mr. Clegg, and he spoke with Mr. Zagala, who does the finance for the Clark County Fire down in Las Vegas. So
okay,
there might be a little bit more information coming from that, but I still don't think there'll be a decision made tomorrow night there either.
All right.
It's just early stages, but we have to put it on the agenda. Better that we leave it discussion and action than...
I mean, that's what I would move.
I'd prefer it to be postponed to give a little more information to it.
Would you like to open it up to public comment?
Yes, let's do. Is there any public comment on that?
I agree. It doesn't sound like you have any information, really.
Right, yeah. That sounds like a big deal that we'll have to...
And we're going to have to see some numbers and... Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then we'll just leave that.
I move to table it then.
Second that.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thanks a bunch. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sam. We move to your informational items.
Okay, all the guys here, a lot of the Bureau of Land Management is here to give us an update on the prescribed fire for discussion.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm Sean McKilvery with the Bureau of Land Management, Southern Nevada District. I'm the Fuels Program Manager and Fire Planner. Last year, we did a prescribed fire on the Perkins, the old Perkins Ranch property. It's a restoration project where we're removing salt cedar, which is a flammable, noxious tree that causes fire problems, and then we're working to restore more native vegetation and promote the native vegetation out there. As a result of going and doing the fuels work restoration work, that's generated slash. And so one of the ways to remove slash is to pile it and burn it. So last year we're able to accomplish the bulk of treating the slash piles, and we have about 100 piles left right now on about 2 acres. It's kind of on the southern end of the unit, adjacent to the BIA and private near the property line there. So we're planning to do that prescribed fire pile burning after the first of the year. Our window is between January and February 15th. And just wanted to present that information. We're planning to follow the same process that we did last year as far as notifications. We're planning to work with Clark County Fire again as we did last year. That worked very well. And this time around, less work should be less of an impact overall. And the primary thing that we'll be looking at is if we get any precipitation between now and then. Right now, we're going into the fall here, and this winter season is very dry. So it'll be a no-go unless we get some more moisture somewhere along the way. And that reduces the overall fire risk. And then we're going to have the guys out there doing some prep work over probably maybe a little bit in the near future, but certainly after the first of the year. And that'll make sure that all of our lines are in, that we've reduced any hazards, fuel hazards, or where we might have problems with those piles, and get the prep work done ahead of time. That'll be coming up out there.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. What kind of smoke is generated from that? I mean,
with the 100 piles that we have, it's very limited, and it's pretty quick. Last year, we had more piles, and we did notice there's a little bit of residual smoke after some of the burning. But there wasn't any intense smoke. And what we do is work to go on good burn days, good days where the smoke lifts out and it doesn't affect anybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Moab Valley Water District discussion.
Oh, no, let's not move on yet. Sorry. I'm late here, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
So last year's fires, you guys didn't get to finish them because there was a lot of piles, right?
Yeah, this was in an area. One of the things that we always need to do is make sure that the slash is cured out. So if we have green fuel down on the ground, it doesn't combust or burn well. And so these piles were in a different part of the unit and were cut at a different time. So we accomplished everything that had been sitting there for a while and that we're ready to go. We actually had to postpone a couple of years prior due to the dry conditions that we had, and then last year we got the right window, the right precip, and the right conditions, so we're able to get the bulk of that done. So this is just the remainder, the last little piece on that.
Do you expect to be able to, if the conditions are right, to get it all completed this year?
Yeah, we expect a lot less piles this year, so we expect to accomplish it in a day.
Okay, and what about the areas along the river that got washed out really bad? Is that going to be fixed this year?
That's a JJ question.
Yeah, so I'm JJ Smith, and I manage our restoration projects for the Southern Nevada BLM district. We've been working with county to address some of the areas of the old agriculture berm that runs along the side of the river, and it keeps blowing out. We fixed it a couple times, and it keeps blowing out. So we put in a proposal very large proposal to try to move that berm over against the private property. That would give the river room to spread out, disperse some of the energy from floods, and not cause the flooding to private property. We're still waiting to hear about that funding. So right now we don't have a lot of money to do anything with that. We've got some crews lined up for the spring to go out and check the river and try to remove debris dams that that can cause, that the river to jump out of the channel. And that's about it for now.
By moving it towards the private property, wouldn't that eventually erode their property, just like it has along the river? Or is that not?
Well,
because as the river, moves, it kind of changes. So wouldn't that eventually be going into their property? Or is there easement, river easement? I don't know.
Well, so right now, there's a river, and there's a berm right next to it. So what happens is the water, when you get a lot of water coming through, it builds up. There's nowhere to go except for up, because that berm is right there. And it spills over with a lot of force, a lot of energy, and it knocks a hole in that old berm. if that berm is located over, you know, here, you know, several hundred feet away, that water has a place to spread out. So instead of, you know, water that's building up 10 or 20 feet high, it builds up 2 inches, 3 inches high.
You're just knocking all the energy out of it, basically.
So the idea is then the berm doesn't need to be much. It just needs to be, you know, enough so that water wants to spread out.
Are you guys riprapping that berm, or are you just using native?
Now we put 400 tons of riprap in that berm, or our county partners helped us with that, and it blew out.
In
the same spot, and blew out the riprap.
The
river really wants to go a different direction.
Yeah.
In that one spot, there's a bend, and it just wants to go straight.
Now, if you build the berm right off Jason's from the private property, how are you going to divert that back into the river further down, or is it all going to pile up right there? Because that berm's all the way down that river. It's got to drain back into the river somehow.
Right. It goes all the way down to the narrows, I believe.
So you'd actually have to do that berm all the way down the backside of all those properties to where the hills start into that retention area behind the reservation. So it would be a pretty long berm that you'd have to do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where it would tie in down there. The first step of this is to do that detailed study to see exactly where it would need to be placed. And we do that in conjunction with the flood control district. Hydrologists and experts who can...
Probably I'll get with people out here that live out here.
We'd like the community to be involved with the whole process.
Yeah, because I've been back riding through there, and if you don't do the berm all the way down to where the hillsides come down, to where the river goes through the reservation, that's just going to back up and come back up towards the houses.
Yeah.
So it'd have to be all the way down to the retention basin towards the reservation. So it'll be a long run.
Yeah.
We know water doesn't burn, but trees do. Bye, Ann.
Bye-bye.
So we're waiting to see about funding to go on with it?
We're trying everything we can to come up with some money to do that.
So I'm just worried with it so open now where that riprap was at. If it happens to rain anytime soon, it's just gonna, you know, come right to us again.
That lower spot that keeps blowing out, it does affect one private property downstream. The other one is holding just fine. That affects the other private property. So it affects the most downstream property.
And does the piece at the county, the air quality that the county owns there at the very end, does that have anything to do with building that all the way through where it should go, or is that?
Well, I mean, that's something we would look at collaborating with them, since that piece is just south or just downstream of the.
Because I kind of feel like that was stopping something at some point, because I don't remember what it was, but something had to stop right at their property line because they didn't want it to go through, or they couldn't get a hold of them.
The whole group that was here from that area that they were
And then there was like that property that the air quality, I think it is, that owns, and it had to stop right at them. So water can't flow all the way through because of a property that county owns, then that's not really fixing the problem, right?
I think that gets back to what the fire chief was talking about. Mm-hmm. That's kind of downstream of the private property, but anything we can do down there, we as being anybody who has some land management business in the area to help the water move on through would be good.
All right. You're just worried about that one, the bend where it keeps blowing out. Will they not do structural stuff with concrete, or is that not land friendly, or what are they?
Well, you know, we've had flood control out there, and they're going to say the same thing we are, is that thing is not going to last forever. I mean, it's eroding in a whole bunch of different places.
Gotcha.
So trying to do something and, you know.
A little patchwork here and there.
Patchwork is just kind of fighting a losing battle. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we're hoping for a longer-term solution. We will try to continue to do some little things when we get the opportunity. I can find little pieces of money to get in there and do something. But the long-term solution is going to have to be moved with that.
All right.
Okay. Well, anybody else? It sounds like the county plays a significant part in this as far as the property that they own. If that's like the key to the whole thing of allowing the river to...
It's two separate issues, Mr. Chair. Oh. I think what Jamie's referring to is property owned by Air Quality. It's almost in a different direction than... What is the Saltbrush Road?
Yeah, it'd be... Well, if you kept on going straight,
yeah,
you'd hit it
it's
right.
It's farther west, that west or southwest, or... If the BLM determines that there's more work that needs to be done through that parcel, JJ and our office, we have a great relationship, so all they need to do is contact us and Marcy Henson, who's the air quality director, there wouldn't be any issues with anything that we'd need to do over there.
Okay.
But it's that, those breaches in that old dam, if
it's
you will,
just dull.
That they're going to put the second. They're erecting a second dam that's going to take care of whatever breaches over the first one.
Okay.
Right, JJ?
We can get the money.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll keep moving. Do we have anything else on that?
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll go to number two, the Moapa Valley Water District.
How are we doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
So, Mr. Chair, we had asked Joe to, or someone from the Water District to address, I think, Board Member Lyman had questions about
signage and that kind of stuff.
So,
okay.
Joe's here to answer.
Bob, take it away.
Because I can't.
Several times we've had, the most recent ones here on the new road. I know we had a water break underneath the new pavement, but what we had there was barricading without any preliminary warnings, and the equipment is a couple generations out of current standard. And I just wondered if we could upgrade the compliance with the water district on the uniform standard barricaded plans and equipment.
Was it the district's equipment or was
it
another?
Yes, it was the district's equipment.
Because we have had leaks underneath the road.
Right.
And that was upgraded. And all of the equipment that we do use does take and meet federal standards. But some of the questions that, if the guys actually implemented it correctly. And so I can certainly look into it and see what they got. Do you have any particular...
My concern is, I'm not being nitpicky about your stuff, is... And this happened, I read a report in Southern California where there was some liability where somebody was hurt and they found the equipment was not up to standard and the barricade plan was not within the compliance of what the uniform traffic code is.
Oh.
And there was a lawsuit and the municipality had to pay out a big settlement, and I just don't want to have to be paying extra water bills to pay a lawsuit that because the barricading wasn't correct.
Absolutely.
And that was my concern, because what was up here on Henry Road for about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, was questionable.
It was just that that break was right on the edge of asphalt, and they put cones up, and there wasn't any warnings, and so when you got right up on that narrow neck road, and you got right up to it, and it was right by a guardrail, so it got a little hairy, and it was right before that hill, so it was a little scary for everybody that couldn't see it coming.
So when you noticed it, did you guys call down and talk to the district and talk to anybody down there at that time?
I did not.
Yeah, unfortunately, because it happened a while ago, I can't actually speak from what did happen. But what I can say is anytime you notice anything, it's like for me, when we had the flooding event in 14 and the county went out and set one cone on those 20-foot drops on that exact same road, I called the county and complained. Yeah. Because it was unsafe, and the water district ended up going out. We put cones up while we were waiting. Terry was tied up. You know, we were all trying to help each other out. But unfortunately, trying to take and go back in time and trying to picture something in my mind is a little difficult. But if you would have certainly called myself, Lon Daly, Brian Mortensen, the three of us took, and there's always one of us that's there. We could have come up and looked at it.
But you guys respond quick. We had a little water valve. Lid come off and let the big thing expose.
That was not them.
Huh?
That was not them. That was a survey. That was county survey.
Yeah.
And I was bugging them for a long time about that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we're always worried about lawsuits. You know, you have a liability that's out there. And anytime you dig a hole, there's liability that's involved.
And I work with barricading companies every day. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but they're one of the most important jobs on the job site, and they're the lowest paid people on the job
site.
And it scares the heck out of me.
Absolutely.
Every day. Right now, I'm right on Las Vegas Boulevard, and news crews and everything almost every day.
And you know, the hardest part is when you're coming up on a blind curb, over a little hill, and then all of a sudden there's some equipment standing there working, or a guy standing there working. It's difficult. So anytime that you guys ever see anything,
you know,
certainly give us a jingle.
And okay. If you could have more advanced warnings, even just one sign that says road damage or road work ahead, or road narrows, or you know, if we have a direction in a lane like this one up here, we were down to about 7.5 feet. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's enough to get by without going into the other lane, but just barely.
Absolutely.
And that was my concern. That's what I brought, because we were having a town board meeting that week, and I brought it up to Janice.
And next time, certainly give me a jingle real quick. We can take them.
We'll do.
We can come down. Phones and phone book.
But sometimes I've had complaints that we're treated like a third world country out here on the side of the freeway.
You know, one of the things about our little town is, you know, we're small enough to where, you know, my phone number is in the phone book, my personal number. You know, every employee at the water district is in there, and so anytime you have any questions, it doesn't matter, morning, dinner, night, we always have somebody on call. If you call, they'll come out. If they don't come out, they will get disappointed. So it's one of those things that's what we're here for, especially for leaks. You know, we need to take and make sure we respond to the flooding events.
Oh, and we appreciate you guys. You guys do a great job.
Anytime give us a call. Bob knows us.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for coming out tonight.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, one big item.
Yep, planning and zoning. Number one, WS1008-17, Cry O'Brien. Waiver of development standards to reduce a rear yard setback in conjunction with the proposed single-family residence on 1.8 acres in a rural open land zone. Generally located on the north side of Turvey Avenue, approximately 200 feet west of Rocks Road in Moapa. This is for discussion and possible action. Good evening.
Good evening.
Tell them who you are, young man.
My name is Brian Crow. I am a resident out here. I grew up out here. I'm currently trying to construct my home out here. And I'm requesting a setback for my rear property line, a waiver. Down to 30 feet. It's 50 feet is the rule. Due to my property and the slope, the way I had to pivot my house has turned one of my corners of my house 30 feet. So I'm just requesting a waiver for that.
He had to pivot the house to be 9 foot off the slope instead of 7. So because of the pivot.
Interesting topography on that lot.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's tricky.
Was tricky.
You're really adventurous.
I'm trying to utilize what I can, you know. I do have a copy of mine.
Do your neighbors to the rear have any complaints about what you're planning?
Not yet, because I haven't built nothing.
Is that right by Jared's place?
Pardon me?
Is that right by Jared Wolfley? Is that how?
Yes, right up on top of the hill from him.
Yeah, his neighbors to the rear are his parents, so we don't care if he's that close.
Got lucky there.
Yeah, and I did talk to Lisa today, and she said they don't have any issue. They're fine with it, so.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it's one of those, it's the rule. And so when he put in his building plans, that giant red flag popped up, and he had to request a waiver, which we knew would be no problem.
Sure.
Now, are you on the east side of the wash or the west side of the wash when you're putting your house?
Of the wash in the bottom?
Yeah.
I'm on the east side, up at the top of the hill.
So you're on the other side from Wolfley?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, see a big problem with it? Anybody else? Okay.
Mr. Chair,
can
you just open it to public comment?
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Is there anybody out there outraged over this? Okay, I like it. I think we ought to do it.
Thank you.
I move that we approve it, I guess, is what we're... approve the waiver.
I'll second it. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
So, Mr. Kroll, January 2nd, Planning Commission. You've got to get in touch with me prior to that. If it's on consent, which it should be, you won't have to go. So, you just got to get in touch. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. More to come.
Okay. We'll move to general comments then. By the general public, is there anything anybody's got?
Again, I'm Lee Kirk. I'm the Bureau of Land Management. I kind of have two hats. I'm the acting Gold Butte manager for Gold Butte National Monument, and I'm also the resource manager, project manager for the resource management plan. But today I'm going to be focusing on the resource management plan. A resource management plan is what we do to manage land. The BLM looks at mineral development to recreation to different aspects, so it's how we plan. We live for 20 years, and so we have to do a resource management plan, how we're going to allocation, where things are allowed, not allowed, and things, resource protection. We had issued a draft resource management plan that went out in October of 2014. As applicable comment period, we got put on hold. We had a lot of concern from the public, our cooperative agencies, on some of it. So our state director wanted some time to evaluate some of the comments, give us direction. So we just recently got issued to go ahead and start moving forward. So what we're going to do is actually reissue a revised resource management plan. We're going to have some public information meetings in January. One of them is going to be in Overton. I do have information on the back, from the back, all the meeting dates of the meetings. What we're looking for is just more additional information. Again, there was some concerns with some of the issues, and it was determined that some of those issues weren't within our range of alternatives. For instance, Gold Butte is one of those that just got recently designated, so that's going to be thrown into our resource management plan, and that's going to be a bigger picture, but management of that will lead into implementation type actions in the future. It's also going to look at land disposals, was another concern, areas of critical environmental concern, lands of wilderness characteristics was one, and socioeconomics. Another. So we're trying to focus on those that information. If you provide any information in the past, any on the draft, that information is still going to be valid. The information period they have open now, plus those previous comments, will be combined to help us do a revised draft, which will again go back out to the public for another comment period. So we're starting that process now. So that process is open until February 2nd. And again, in January, we'll have some public meetings. Again, I have this information in the back if you have any questions on that. All of this information is on our website, too, so if you are familiar with this process, you'll be able to look at it again. If you're not, it's quite a big document. You can give us a call. I'll help guide you through it so you at least have some ideas what it's about. And again, it's how we, the BLM, manage our land over the next 20 years, gives guidance at a higher level.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. You guys have any questions for him? Anybody in the audience have any questions for him?
That going to entail any closures of the area out there? Area that would be off limits to the public?
We don't really have closures. What it does look at possibly, like where maybe Rio Grande can go or it may not go, avoidance or is excluded. If you look at minerals, where it could be open or excluded, it just kind of looks at that. But it depends on what you mean by closures.
Well, we have the local roads that are
legal access right now. Are you closing any of it?
We're not closing any roads, no access, nothing like that. What it does look at is possibilities. There's a range of alternatives. So for recreation, it may currently under most of the areas under under existing roads, trails, and ferry washes. Some of the alternatives may have it as designated routes only. That would go through another planning process after the RMP to look at that process, but we don't have any planned closures. Really, everything we've done is a draft and has alternatives. That's all going to be, with all the information we're going to gather, we're going to get more of a range of alternatives. And so there's no decisions on anything. This, is, again, is just taking past information, building on it to begin that process and going out back out to the public again. So there's no, it just depends on kind of like what you're saying, there might be restrictions on certain things, and that could be a range of alternatives, but that all depends on the alternative. Like I said, mineral development, different things like that.
So if you're going to do any mineral development out there, you might have closed off to the public in that area.
I'm not sure what you mean when you say area, like Gold Butte.
Yeah, wherever you are there.
Well, we're all the Southern Nevada, so we're all Clark County, and then southern part of Nye County. So we're going to like the bigger picture. Anything managed by the BLM, it's part of that process. And so there's a range of alternatives. There's no decisions that have been made. We already currently have a resource management plan that's out there, and that's how we look for managing land now. This is revising that. It's really a revision to everything that's going to be revised. So we have a range of alternatives. So if you have any questions, I think I brought my business card. If not, give me a call. If there's a specific, I can help guide you through it. It's a rather large document.
Is there any renewable projects slated for the BLM properties or?
There are applications that are in process, and I'm sorry, I don't know the extensive list on that, but I can always, if I come back and give you that information.
Yeah, that'd be great.
There are applications that are moving forward throughout the district, or someone has applied for it, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything kind of out in our area that you know might know about?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's some older pending applications. I don't know if there's any movement, but I'm sorry, I'm just not as familiar with that.
Okay.
Process. But the RMP will look at renewable energy, again, where it should be excluded, where it could be a designated leasing area or avoidance areas, also with wind energy. So it looks at the overall pictures, and it provides a range of alternatives. So one alternative, it may be excluded, one might be open. And then usually the BLM has a preferred alternative, and that's kind of we're required to have a preferred alternative. It kind of gives the direction where the BLM thinks is the best balance of resources and resource protection, or resource uses, what they call it, mineral development, solar energy, wind energy, those type of things. So the RMP kind of looks at that, gets the public input, and eventually get to a proposed and to a final one.
So. Okay. We very much do welcome and appreciate your input, so please do have the opportunity to participate.
And we'd like that. Yeah, and if it's your first time getting into it, please give me a call. I'll try to guide you through it and show you what each section is and what it means, and that whole process. And so that's why I'm here today, just trying to get this word out so you know that a public meeting is coming, and we'll have more information then, and we'll have poster boards and different things that kind of help guide it.
Okay.
But this is only the first time. Again, this is just getting additional information. If you've already submitted comments, they're still valid. We're just looking for some new information on those subjects I talked about. And then we'll go back out for the public, for public comment period, official public comment period.
Okay. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any more comments by the public? All right, then.
So this is, I can now make
this a comment. This is your time.
Sorry this didn't get on the agenda. I'm not even sure if it would get on the agenda, but there have been some inquiries about raising the speed limit on Henry Road. Any thoughts from anybody?
Does anyone drive the speed limit on that road?
Do what?
She said, does anybody drive the speed limit on that road?
No, that's the problem. We all feel like we're breaking the law.
35. You know?
It's 35?
It's 35 now. Yeah.
35, and if you do 35, you get rear ended.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm assuming 45.
The joggers pass you up
45.
On the trail.
So I believe that's going to entail a traffic study?
It would.
Between 168 and Turvey, it would probably be okay to do 45.
Are folks getting speeding tickets, or are they...
There are concerns out there that there seems to be tighter surveillance of late.
Yes.
Oh, good.
And people are concerned.
So by way of our recording, we'll have Amelia contact Public Works Department tomorrow and get started asking in regard to the homes and the proximity of the homes and so on and so forth and how that's determined.
Okay, good. I thought Tim was going to tell a joke. He was going to tell you that Logandale's a good place to put wind turbines because Moapa sucks and Overton blows, so that'd be a good spot for him. But he didn't. He let me down. All right, well.
Is that it?
I think it's a good idea because... you do have a lot of people that actually it's the 35, and there's people that will drive 25, and when we're late for church, it's not a good thing. And
with the new, that, by the way, I don't know if I've said it publicly, that road is really great.
Yeah, it is great.
It's nice to hear that.
But very well done. It's so well done that it encourages higher speeds.
There's a story to go with that if you ever want to hear it.
And now, theoretically, there is room to move pedestrians and bikes away from the actual road, so that frees up some of the safety concerns. Obviously, it's not the fix-all to all the safety concerns, but that does alleviate some of the safety concerns. So it seems like it makes sense now to change it.
Okay. Good idea. Okay, well, do we need to put that on an agenda for some period? Okay. Right then, we'll adjourn the meeting, and our next meeting will be January 30th.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Thank you. Oh.